I'm not gonna worry about your level of concern.
We talking about Twitter.
Think of how stupid the average person is, and then realize half of them are stupider than that.
We love Pittsburgh, PA. We love Steeler Nation.
That's right. It's what Jen's talking about. Only on Behind the Steel Curtain, your one-stop shop for all things black and gold. What Jen's talking about is the conversation about the Steelers social media conversation. Mm-hmm. I am Kyle Kreiss. Here, as always, with me is Greg Benavent.
Hello.
And it's a, you know, I don't know where we are as a nation, because, you know, we're at our lowest point after a tie.
Mm-hmm.
So you think a loss would be worse, but I don't know. The vibe out there is trending, might be trending positive.
My personal vibe is trending more positive after that loss. I don't know if that counts.
Well, I can definitely see it. Your vibe is all over the place here. And so it's trending upward. I know the takes are all across the board here. So let's start with the big headlines.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. His headline, it's interesting how the headlines contrasted. So here's the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's headline: Matt Canada's play calling fails the team again.
Mm.
All right, so that's one take. Now let's go across the street to the Trib. Here's Joe Rutter. Steelers stage wild comeback, but Chargers pull out thriller. We'll throw in one more headline. This is from Jerry Dulac.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost a complete comeback for the Steelers, but the Chargers managed another big play at the most crucial time to beat them. Not the best headline writing right there.
That's a bit wordy, but it sums up what actually happened.
Which of these headlines is more correct? We've got the PPG, we've got Pittsburgh Post-Gazette saying Matt Canada's play calling fails the team again, or we've got the Trib with the Steeler positive, Steeler stage wild comeback.
I mean, this is rare that I've ever gotten to say this in my life, but I'm going to go with the Trib. I mean, that implies what happened. I mean, it tells you what happened. There was a wild comeback. The Chargers pulled out the thriller, and the Steelers failed on defense and offense at the very end of the game. Up until then, it almost worked out in the fourth. But maybe the game was lost in the first half and not the fourth quarter.
Okay, interesting. All right, let's go to some of the fan takes here. We've got stats guy Daniel Valente. This was the most Steelers game ever. Steelers have you believing after a giant comeback only to blow it at the end. So is this the most Steelers game ever? Because I thought last week was the tie. I thought that was the most Steelers game ever.
I personally believe that we defined the most Steelers game ever by which Steelers game frustrates you the most. That's how we find the most Steelers game ever. Is it frustrating when they have a tie with a terrible team? Is it frustrating when they have a big comeback only to lose at the end? Is it frustrating when they blow a lead and then have a comeback at the last second to win? Whatever you personally find irritating thus becomes the most Steelers game ever.
All of the above. I think we've had 3 weeks of... We've had three straight weeks of most Steelers games, and one was a win, one was a loss, and one was a tie. So, you know, take your pick. It's the most Steelers game ever. Let's go to our own Michael Beck at Michael Beck 56. This is the worst Steeler lineup in 20 years.
It's not a crazy take. I can kind of see it. I had that exact same thought, and I don't remember where it was in the game. I know you were there. I was watching it on television, where somebody tweeted out, and I forget who it was, I wish I'd saved it, about how this was a rushing performance or something, and they compared it to Fred Taylor with the Jaguars. That one time he ran for like 200 some yards.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it was in the first half of that game, they're like, all right, we're drafting a nose tackle in the first round next year. And I think that's what made me think that this something not dissimilar to that. When I saw it, I actually wouldn't go 20 years. I'd go back 18 years to the year that Maddox led the team to 6-10 that led to Roethlisberger. That would be my take. If you say it's not the worst team in 20 years, it's the worst in 18.
But didn't that team even have some great players?
Oh, it
like
had the
Banica,
bus. Yes.
The bus.
It had all the guys that would go 15-1 a year later with Ben.
Yeah.
You can say this is the worst lineup in two decades, but that can also get you to some real darkest before before the dawn kind of stuff.
I didn't look back at the entire roster, but when Cordell, I'm thinking 99, when Cordell got benched for Mike Tomaszak.
Oh man, that was bleak.
That had to be some of the, as far as roster wise, we'll get back to the lineup in a moment because, you know, when we get to the D, there's a lot of, roster announcements that need to be made. Let's get for one more here on what the overall headlines at Steeler Nation. The Steelers lose on possibly the worst drive in Steelers history. So we had the worst lineup and the worst drive. I don't know. Didn't this guy watch the OT drives from the Lions game?
Maybe he got confused. He lost that. What I thought of in, you know, this drive, which was terrible and bad and all that. I remember thinking, not to, you know, compare yourself to the other team, but you do have to remember there's another team there. Boy, if this had gone the other way, and that, I mean, I'm not saying Bosa is TJ Watt, but they're not dissimilar talents, and a great player makes a great play at the end to decide things. That's what I thought, him running past Trey Turner like that. Isn't this something we've seen a million times the other way?
Yeah, isn't that, you know, if it would have happened in the first or second quarter, it would have just been, you know, part of the game. But since it happened, you know, in the clutch moment there, let's go to, hey, you know, it was a big week for Ben. Mm-hmm. Even though it wasn't a victory for Ben, I still feel that Ben is on his victory tour here. We've got at Jordan York Music. Never question if Big Ben can still do the damn thing.
Ooh.
We've got at Mic'd Up Sports 1. Ben Roethlisberger's last five games, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Father Time may not have struck as early as you thought. Ben, you know, maybe Ben needs a mini bye week a couple times throughout the season.
I do think this should end any speculation or any more of that belly aching about, oh, Ben's not practicing. It sets a bad example for the rest of them. I have looked at this and you wonder, like, oh man, all this having been said, I do still anticipate this being Ben's last year. I'm very grateful for what he's able to do, and part of me, and again, this could be way, way too much optimism, I would like to think that seeing Ben do this well at this point in his career makes you, potential veteran quarterback out there, look at the Steelers team and say, hey, if Ben's doing that at that age, maybe I could do that next year for those guys for a lot of money. Maybe that might be something I could see myself doing. You know,
all the Jimmy G's are watching.
Right,
all the,
Aaron and
Tyrod
Russell.
Taylor
right,
might be
exactly.
Watching.
Even somewhere Mitch Trubisky's like, put me in, coach. I could do it. Look at that guy. 9 touchdowns.
Well, you know, Ben might be still rising. We may not have seen his peak yet.
That's entirely possible, too.
We've got at Brian Batko. Ben Roethlisberger now has gone 5 straight games without an interception. The longest streak of his career.
Wow.
I mean, we had some fumbles earlier in the year, but that seems to have corrected itself, at least with Ben. Maybe that was part of the reason why he just sat and took those hits at the end, because, you know, when he tries to get out of the way, that's when the ball seems to slip and slide.
Well, I also think, you know, Ben trying to get out of the way isn't like it used to be, Ben trying to get out of the way. I think you got a good point there.
All right. How about at Indiana Steve B? Just let Ben call his own plays. Go no huddle. If this is his last year, let him do what he does. He earned the right.
I mean, it's nice to say that, and there's such like a hero myth about that, about like, just let him do what he wants. He'll be able to make it happen. That's the way I envision it. But I personally, and I could be wrong about this, I always find it impossible to believe that's the entire story, that it only succeeds when Ben gets to do exactly whatever it is he wants. No one else has any beneficial input. No one else has something to contribute. It's just when Ben decides to let it loose that Ben's going to make it happen, and I find it hard to believe that's really
Gosh, damn, that's going on.
Yeah. So, plus, you know, everyone wants the 2-minute drill and the no huddle, but we didn't see a lot of that in this game because, you know, the turnovers in the second half gave us the short field. So we weren't playing a 2-minute offense then. And then when a time came for Ben to play hero, he didn't have a chance to run a 2-minute. So we didn't really see, I don't think, Ben calling the plays in this one. Am I wrong about that?
That's not what I thought either. I mean, it's you can't say like, oh, we got the ball back on the 28, so they're 28, so we're running the 2-minute drill. That's not exactly how it works.
Okay, well, you know, the Ben love continues. Here's at Pitt Steelers UD. If Ben wants to come back for one more year, I'm perfectly fine with that. No, is that?
I mean,
crickets.
It's not crickets. I was trying to make almost more like the wary zombie noise. I mean, because there is something to be said for not going out at your absolute nadir. I mean, hopefully this is a good season and it continues to trend upward in that. But, you know, sooner or later, the bottom really is going to fall out of this. And maybe it's okay to get out before that occurs.
All right. And so, well, Steelers Nation, I'm shocked at where we stand on this. Hmm. The tweet from Jesse James caught that ball, at James caught it. Do you think Ben comes back next season? Yes. 45.6%, no, 54.4%. It's basically Florida in an election.
I mean, that's sort of where I am on it. Yeah, so I'm always surprised, and I say this every time, when you bring out a poll, and it makes me think that Steelers fans are far more sensible than I would have anticipated otherwise.
But this is pretty 50-50. It looks like, you know, right now, people are saying that they're happy with it either way.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that's after a game where our last image of him is performing heroically in defeat. I mean, show me that where, you know, they struggle in the third quarter and either lose or they win because, you know, Najee took the air out the ball at the end. Like, it's something like that.
Well, not everyone loved Ben, of course. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the Ben hate. Here's stats guy Daniel appearing again. What should have been a wide open TD between Claypool and Roethlisberger ended up in 0 points. Bad throw, bad play calling, just bad all across the board. If he leads him with that throw, it is in the end zone.
I believe it, I don't have the specific moment this is talking about, but I do remember thinking when, you know, they turned the ball over on downs in the first half, there was part of me that thought, that might be the game. There was a part of me that said, and it very well could have ended, and that, you know, and you can interpret that ended up being what happened. Like,
that's true. You know, Cowher always taught us, you know, it's a 60-minute game. You got to play all 60 minutes. And I think what that taught us this week is you're not going to be able to win the game in the first quarter. Right. So, you know, going for 7 maybe in the first maybe is a little short-sighted when, you know, you just need to stick around in the fourth and see what happens.
Well, I'll piggyback on that just a little bit. The old golf phrase about, you know, the majors. You can't win the major in the first round, but you can lose it. You can't win the game in the first quarter, but you might be able to lose it.
All right, let's go to the let's go to the last drive.
Okay.
At Rhett Vet 2 Wars, Gwynn Douglas. Roethlisberger totally folded during those last 2 minutes. He just doesn't move. The defense worked so hard to put Steelers back in the game. It's time to move on from number 7.
I mean, again, my lasting image of that last drive is Trey Turner, like, waving at Joey Bosa as he, like, you know, achieves warp speed on his way into Roethlisberger. I mean, it's...
I think it was Haig, actually.
Oh, wasn't it? Okay, yeah. Well, which, regardless... See, it all moved so fast, I couldn't tell. It was like those starbursts in, like, Star Wars when they go to hyper mode. Like,
yeah, well, it was Haig, you know, who, of course, is the backup tackle playing left guard.
Okay, so, right, you know. Yeah, exactly. The guy moved so quick. Yeah, he got spun around so quickly, I couldn't even make out his number. But that's what I'm saying. Ben at 22 wasn't going to be able to get out of the way of that. I mean, again, that's not to imply that there isn't more that Ben could have done to win this game. If he's a more mobile quarterback, could certainly do better in this game, as we saw with Herbert literally running wild. So, yeah, I'm fine with moving on from number 7 at the end of the season. But for the rest of it, this certainly seems like, you know, it's not just pity and nostalgia that keeps them out there.
Oh, yeah. You know, we saw how quick one game with Mace and they all came coming back to Ben, right? So just wait. When he retires, it's gonna be the same. You think you miss him now after 1 week?
Oh, man.
Just wait till he's gone. You're all going to miss him.
Mm-hmm. Everything hurts.
Everything hurts. And Ben took some – that's what I was afraid, is that Ben was going to take some shots and that would be it. You know, two sacks in a row at the end. What a way to go that way.
Yep.
We can't talk about the offense if we don't. Let's go to at Kevin Adams 26. Can the Steelers get a competent effing play caller ever? I don't care how predictable it is. You're inside the 5 and you have a legit power back. Run the football. let's let's keep the Canada hate going. This is from Chaz at FrazMoney93. I hate to say this, but I'm finally on the Fire Canada train. And this guy is a Pirates fan. He had Buchan in his bio. So
okay.
He's sat through 30 years of losing seasons, but now he's ready to fire Canada.
As ever, but my sympathies go out to anyone that has the Pirates hashtag in their bio. As someone that also roots for the Pirates, I certainly sympathize. I don't know. I come back to every time I get frustrated with Canada and I think, they should have run the ball more. I thought, well, I've seen them so many times where they run the ball and it doesn't work. I mean, that's where you want to be like, okay, blame one thing for this game that isn't, you know, miscommunication of the defense or one broader kind of macro sort of thing. It's that they could never get a consistent running game going. Is that play calling? Is that roster? Is it coaching? I think it's all those things. And I think that's where the game was really lost, so to speak, is that you couldn't run effectively against a run defense that was bad, that's bad with all its starters out there and presumably worse without them.
Well, you know, the biggest hater of them all might have been in the booth right there. Stan loved the show. Man, he did not mince his words about Canada. Let's hear what he had to say.
This guy's got to have his headset taken away from him.
And this is something.
Let Mike Sullivan call the plays. Let Ben call them all. This guy is horrible.
So, I mean, wow. This guy's horror. He wants Batch to call the plays, maybe?
I could just imagine Batch's face while Stan is saying that. I kept thinking like Mike Myers and Kanye that time on The Daily Show when they showed that to Katrina. But, no, I mean, it's hard for me to get to totally believe that, but I mean, I don't know. If you're blaming specific play calling, it seems like you've missed so many other things that could have gone wrong. It's like the space shuttle. When the space shuttle explodes, you know, we blame it on somebody pressed the wrong button and not this thing got manufactured 3 years ago and this hitch didn't match the other thing 1 year ago. And then,
See you've been watching the those docs.
Well, I mean, I read a script a long time. The lady that wrote a thing about Challenger now writes Marvel movies. Anyway, but the point is that it's hard for you to blame the very end of it, but it has not worked as we'd hoped, and it's okay to seek out blame. I guess that's where I am with it. I do sympathize with where Stan's coming from.
Sure. I mean, but, you know, we've seen things that aren't working right now, like, say, a shovel pass to Muth. We've seen that work in week one where it was Juju, you know? So it's like we've seen stuff work, and just because the execution hasn't been there, you know, that it comes down to execution, right?
Right.
It's like we saw it with anything from the Boswell fake to the Muth shovel pass, to even Ben's deep balls. It's like if you don't execute, then it doesn't matter what the play call is.
And not to harp on the fact, but it's so hard for me to not come back to the offensive line isn't as good as we'd hope, because I keep thinking if the offensive line was better, we wouldn't be like, okay, here comes the shovel pass to the tight end. Like, we might be able to hit a guy in the back of the end zone. We might be able to open a hole in the middle. We might be able to, you know.
And, you know, and despite our failure, we talk about the failures, but we did see a power run over the goal line with Naj.
Yeah.
We did see a great fade to the corner to DJ. You know, so we've seen the stuff that we want to see happen, just not when we want it to happen.
Or
maybe.
Consistently. Happen.
Yeah, or consistently. Let's go one final thing on the coach hate here.
Mm-hmm.
How about all the way down to Kenneth Kissel at BBabyBear01. Remember, Steelers fans, we survived Bubby Brister in the 80s. We'll survive Bubby Brister 2.0, a.k.a. Mike Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
Are you or a loved one a victim of poor coaching? Call 1-800- Obviously. So I don't know. Is this trying to be a Tomlin diss, but comparing him to Bubby Brister?
It seems like a diss that got lost on its way on the highway and then like crashed into a tree. I mean, you're comparing the rough quarterback from the 80s to the coach. That's like it's you know, I don't understand it. I'm getting this isn't the youngest dude if he's on or talking about surviving Bubby Brister.
Well, but, I think this guy might be young. He's not old enough to remember the facts about Bubby Brister. Let me remind you that Bubby, you know, people like to say, oh, it took us, you know, decades to find a franchise quarterback between Bradshaw and Ben. No, dude, we had playoff wins with many quarterbacks. And Bubby, if you don't remember, not only, okay, he's a two-time Super Bowl champ with Denver.
Well, he had slightly more to do with winning a Super Bowl than you and I. I mean, he was standing there watching.
I think he started four games.
I didn't even know he did that much. I remember a lot of him staring intently at Elway on the sideline. Yeah.
If you didn't follow Bubby when he went to Denver or the Jets or I think Kansas City even. Oh. But if you remember him with the Steelers, he beat the Oilers on the road in the playoffs, 1989.
Wow.
Before Ben was putting up fourth quarter comebacks, we had Bubby. I mean, you know, he was a third rounder. He wasn't this elite drafted quarterback, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not buying the line that we had this barren landscape between quarterbacks. I mean, Bubby was fine. O'Donnell took us to a Super Bowl. Cordell, AFC championship games. Mm-hmm. Maddox playoff wins. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
I think what people at this point, you know, looking back on that exact debate, when we say franchise quarterback, we mean all-time Hall of Famer. I think that's where the line is drawn. And I think that's what people were always really complaining about. And I will say, as someone that was too young really to see Bubby play, I can't tell you how many times when I go home for Christmas and I see my aunts and uncles, and how many of them say something with some note of affection of Mason reminds me so much of Bubby. Like just a southern good-looking guy with a thick accent and some dark hair and it, you know, with some arm and some confidence and maybe not the most talent, but willing to go out there and give it a shot, you know. So that's, I mean, I can't compare a quarterback from more than 30 years ago to the head coach today, but I can understand the frustration.
Bubby dated a Uniontown girl for a while there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, his sister went to Third Press Church in Uniontown, so we were big Bubby fans.
Oh.
But anyway, because he was our quarterback, okay? All right?
That's my quarterback.
All right, we got to take a commercial break because there's bills to pay. There's other podcasts to promote. There's brain pills to sell.
Still on the brain pills.
Actually, I haven't heard the brain pills in a while. Okay. But, if they want to come back, I'd be down with that. We got to talk about defense. We've got to talk about... I don't know. Is there anything else to talk about? We'll find out. We'll find out. Hold on. All right. Welcome back. We left off. We talked about the offense and all the great Twitter content about it. Now let's turn to the defense. Let's get to the tweets. Okay, first off, it's at Sports Podium Pod, the Sports Podium Podcast.
Okay.
Justin Herbert is the first QB in history to throw for 380-plus yards and rush for 90-plus yards in the same game. Very specific stats there, but history nonetheless.
Absolutely. I would have assumed like Steve Young would have done that like halfway through his career, Mark Brunell or something like that.
Yeah, Cunningham.
Like, right. You're like a Dante Culpepper, like somebody like that.
But no one, you know, you got to realize that the throwing, that the offensive passing era is now,
right.
You know.
Like, oh yeah,
we talked about Bubby and everyone in the past, and we didn't have a 3,000 yard passer until Ben came around. Now it's like 4,000 and 5,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the point of this tweet is that we went up against a guy who made history. Okay, sure, it wasn't our best defense out there, but when the guy's putting up historic numbers like that, you can't do nothing. Okay. Mic'd Up Sports 1, using two words to sum up the Steelers' defense tonight, junior varsity.
I'm fine with that as long as you don't mean it as an exaggeration, but mean it literally. As in, so many guys were hurt, we actually put out the junior varsity. Guys that, like, that if there were such position as third stringers, they would have had it. I agree with this take far, far more than I think even this guy intended.
Some of the other responses were outcoached, unprepared, Helen Keller. Woski.
I'm confused on the line.
I don't know. I like Woski. If I was going to sum up the game, I think I would say Woski.
Woski. Okay. I'm going to try and incorporate that in my actual life.
We can't verify that that's true, but it certainly sounds right.
I want to see you put Woski in your life.
I'll try to get that a shot.
All right. How about at Schrader's 21, Joe Schrader. This is the worst Steeler defense I've seen in my life. So everyone has seen the worst at everything this game. We've had the worst drive in history, the worst lineup in history. Now the worst defense in Joe's life.
I was going to say, it's a shame that Joe is on Twitter at 6 years old. You should wait till you're a lot older. But anytime I read one of these big dramatic exaltations and exaggerations, I know it just comes from frustration, which I absolutely get. I mean, it's an analogy that people don't use anymore, but it really did feel like arena football there. Like the old arena league, as in like, if you can get a stop, maybe you can win this game. And that's sort of what ended up happening. They didn't get the stops, so they didn't win the game. So I 100% get the frustration and all that. I was just just going through the first half, I remember thinking, like, the way this has to work is that for somebody, like, it bounces off of Trey Norwood's head. It hits this, you know, it hits off this linebacker's skull or something like that.
Yeah.
And then that's more or less what kind of happened with the great Hayward play that led to the interception, which is why a major, major reason we're having these what positive vibes we do over the last few days is because that kind of play allowed them to get it close. So, yeah, this was a defense that was always wildly overmanned. I mean, last week, and not to belabor the point, how many times did we say on this exact podcast about winning this game against the Chargers would be as much, if not more, of an upset than what is with Duck was out there, just because of how many guys are gone? And it's takes like this to kind of ignore or avoid that exact context.
Well, and just a little bit of history, and you'll see that maybe this wasn't the worst defense ever. I mean, you know, Joe Starkey from the Post Gazette was saying the same thing just 5 years ago when we were last in sacks. So let's look at some of the worst seasons as far as defensive yards. Mm-hmm. 1988, we were last in defensive yards. And then in 2016, we were 25th. Mm. So, I mean, was that our worst? If you go by points, 1988, we gave up 26.3 points. So that was the worst ever. Right now, we're giving up 22.6 points per game. So, you know, far from the worst defense in Steeler history, scoring-wise, at least. How about, according to rushing yards per attempt, in 2014, we gave up 4.4 yards per attempt. And then in 2016, 2013, and 2020, we gave up 4.3 yards per attempt. Those were our worst. Now, unfortunately, right now, we're giving up 4.8 yards per attempt.
Right.
Which
gets back to the junior varsity point, because Alualu hasn't been out there since, what, week two, week three? Yeah.
So maybe this is the worst Steelers rushing defense.
It's certainly up there. I mean, I keep seeing the numbers 20. As you were going through those stats, I keep seeing the number 2016, and I think about how good that team's offense was and how that team did go on a bit of a run. Just at times, that defense would just absolutely bottom out, and you'd be like, okay, the offense is just going to have to save them here. I mean, which is something I thought of many times during that game on Sunday, whereas if this is going to work, then the offense is going to have to do something incredible, or you get Miles Killebrew blocking a punt. I mean, what a great signing that guy was. I don't even know if we've mentioned that. Just two block punts in a year? Imagine whatever they're paying him, it ain't enough.
Tomlin called for special team splash plays, and at the time I was thinking, how can you even dictate that? But boom, there you have it. So,
right.
Let's continue with the defense hate. We've got at Steel City LCPL, the buckle up, baby. Steelers are playing like the absolute worst team in the NFL. They might actually just be the worst team in the NFL. Well, first off, I mean, you know, Lions are still winless. Jets, Texans, Jags all have two wins. They have fewer points scored than us, and they gave up more points than us. So I know everyone is feeling bad right now about the defense and about losing games, but we're statistically and literally in the middle of the pack.
I agree with that, and it's the last part of that person's tweet that I don't know if you said was the absence of T.J. Watt certainly makes that argument valid. Well, that makes the defense that much worse. I forget whose tweet it was I read after the game. It might have been Filippone, of all people, who said if the Steelers have Hayden, Minka, and T.J., two of those three, they win this game. I don't know if I'd have to go as far as two of those three. I wonder if maybe you're getting one, you get out one of those three, you get out of this thing.
Let's go down to the bottom here at Mike Asti 11. Who did the Steelers miss more in the Chargers loss? TJ was 66.5%. Minka only 33.5%.
I can agree with that. Just because it's this season, we're so used to seeing TJ do what Bosa did at the end of this game, literally closing it out with a sack, closing it out with some incredible play, closing it out with, you know, batting a pass or getting a fumble or something like that. And it's, you know, I mean, maybe this would have been the game in, you know, two dimensions parallel to here where Minka gets those two interceptions that have been just bouncing off of his fingers. But I certainly agree with the poll that I certainly miss TJ Moore watching Herbert run free for much of the game.
Well, what about if we had Minka on the final play that went to the touchdown past Norwood?
Right.
What if that was Minka on that?
He still might have missed the guy. It's when you start getting out to the hypotheticals, when you start getting to other parts of the multiverse that you aren't sure who's going to be able to make what play.
All right, let's move. Do we even need to move on to the Devin Bush tweets? We can do a whole section on Devin Bush. Let's just do a couple quick. I don't want to pile on the guy, but you know, it seems to be, it was part of the conversation this week. Mm-hmm. We'll go back. Geez, I think this is for the third time. We'll go back to at Stats Guy Daniel. Mm. Devin Bush's run defense grade is ranked 86th out of 88 qualified linebackers. This is per PFF. You know, if the Steelers want to make some noise in the second half, they're going to need Bush to get back on track.
I agree with all that. Again, I can't ever justify using PFF's grades for anything, but it certainly, I agree with them from the eye test of having looked at it and seen it gone so bad. I, you know, real life is not Madden. It is not a video game, so you can't really do these kinds of things, but seeing him do as badly as he did, I couldn't help but think of those stories you get out of Tennessee where, was it a few weeks ago, was it a month ago, where they basically just kind of sat Bud Dupree down for a game or two, and they were like, hey, you're not 100%. We know you're a stud. Why don't you take these two off and come back? And then you see him making big plays. I mean, again, it's impossible to do that to somebody younger and their feelings and their thoughts, and everyone else is watching too, the other players. So it, you know, but man, it's if there's ever a guy that needs a break, that needs something, it's Bush, a change.
If this is the ultimate what if. I apologize for even putting this out there, but say Vinny Williams was still on the team at this year, would we look at it now and say, oh, that would have been a helpful addition, but is that bias?
It's possible, and it's lovely to think, but I also immediately got the image of like Vinny Williams like 4 yards behind Justin Herbert as he takes off down the sideline. I love Vinny. I mean, it's, again, you know, he's my dream interview for this podcast, but he was never the we're going to cover dudes down the seam, we're going to play, you know, sideline to sideline kind of football, kind of middle linebacker.
What we've needed though is the run stopper.
Yes,
you know,
exactly, which is what Vinny excelled at always, even last year.
How about, well, let's, for the final point, I don't want to harp on Devin too much. Mm-hmm. Let's go to at the bottom here at S City Nation 412 Steel City Nation. If you watch NFL games other than the Steelers, you notice that all teams can't tackle. Is this a unique problem for the Steelers, or that's just what we're watching?
I think why we're so hyper-focused on the Steelers, and moreover, we're hyper-focused on it. It's whenever someone runs on the Steelers, even now, if you've been watching the team for more than a decade, it feels like something's wrong. It feels like something is awry. Like, it's like Casey Hampton is forever going to be there. Like, he's always going to be in the middle, and we're always going to stop the run. So when you see someone succeed with the run, it's hard on some bizarre level not to take that personally. And I think that's sort of where we get to all of this, and that's why, you know, I'm sure tackling is awful around the league. I've heard multiple people, even, you know, people talking about the Steelers, bring up that same point. It just, when you see it happen time again, especially with someone like Bush, who has such, you know, such a big rep, it's hard not to get deeply frustrated.
Especially when the restrictions on contact are all on the defensive side.
Certainly.
Right? So every year we're adjusting technique and you know, in gameplay. All right, let's, you know, Bush still has time to get back, right?
I do think, you know, it's like to use Sunday night's game as an analogy. Like, we all feel better about this game, even though the comeback came up short, because there was that big comeback. And I would feel this. I think a lot of us would feel the same way about Bush. Maybe he doesn't need to be a vintage Ray Lewis for the rest of the season, but man, it'd be nice to see some kind of comeback, some kind of like, okay, here he is making plays, looking like he did at the first half of last season, or even looking like he did his rookie season a lot for the rest of this year.
We just need him to get get a little bit of that...
the gabagool.
Yeah, just a little bit of that gabagool.
I actually knew that's the clip you were going to play at that point. I've been here long enough now.
All right, let's get to the lightning round. Lots here, starting with... At Steelers, from the official account, Najee Harris, first rookie in Steelers history with at least 1,000 yards from scrimmage in his first 10 career games.
It's that quote from the bus he said the other week where he's like, if they could take care of him, he could have a better career than me. The bus is right, just you got to take care of him.
Yeah, Franco was notorious for avoiding contact, right? where I think Najee is not
that way.
Not avoiding contact in the least. All right, let's go to at Steeler Nation. Eric Ebron's last play as a Steeler may have been a touchdown. Tight end needs knee surgery. Are we saying, you know, farewell? What do we say? Happy trails to Eric Ebron.
Bon voyage. I don't know. It's entirely possible. I could see him, if he wanted to do like the old, and if you compare him to a tight end who's completely different, like that Vance McDonald deal of like, hey, here's one last year, take a few bucks. But he also might go somewhere where, you know, they don't expect you to do any blocking of any kind, and you can be essentially a big receiver and all that. It's Ebron may have disappointed at times as a Steelers tight end, but he was always a good dude. I mean, that's, you know, he's not a bad guy by any means. Like, it just maybe didn't work out exactly as we'd hoped. But, you know, I think he's another one of those ones you might miss when he's gone because, you know, Gentry's a fine blocker and he's open when he's open by 20 yards. But I don't know about combat catches or nothing.
Yeah, you know, this year was kind of relatively quiet for Ebron. I think 12 catches, 84 yards, one touchdown. But, you know, I can think back to... week three last year, he had five catches for a touchdown. The wild card game, he had a touchdown. The rushing touchdown this season. So he's had a couple highlights. If you had to rank him, I don't know. Maybe not rank him, but let's look at some of our recent, because we've been dipping into free agency for tight ends recently. So compared to, what was it, Ladarius Green, Vannemol the Animal, and now Ebron.
I think Vannemol was a trade with the Niners.
Was that a trade? Okay, it wasn't exactly free agency, but Vance,
having to go outside.
As far as production, it's got to be. Would you put him above? Would you put him at the top of that? Or,
I mean, I just think they got so much more value out of Vance just because he was such a blocker. He was so good for that. Even then, they kind of realized like, hey, he's not the receiver. I mean, it's of the most. Those guys are the most talent. I think it was Ebron.
Okay, all right.
I think
it
the best
Ebron.
Receiver of the group of them, but I also think we're done going outside for tight ends for a long time. I think that's kind of over with.
Yeah, I'll say. All right, let's go on to at Javi Murrieta 55. I definitely need a damn Cam Hayward jersey. Love having him on the Steelers. I bring this up because. There's been, you know, Hayward's wife has made some beef that it's hard to find Hayward jerseys in Pittsburgh itself. And to be honest, I didn't go to every section of the game.
Right.
Okay,
yeah, I would hope not.
I only saw two Hayward jerseys. I saw at least one Boswell jersey. I saw at least one Louis Lips jersey. So the fact that Cam Hayward is a eventual Hall of Honor.
Certainly.
Steelers for life, Rooney for life, but he doesn't get the love as far as the fans obviously love him, but we still don't see the jerseys out there.
I guess it is surprising. I mean, I do have a 97 jersey. It's just a Kendrell Bell one. It's the first jersey I ever got. So I wonder if how many of it, because remember he was defensive rookie of the year. And for whatever reason, the Steelers have had precious few of those, no matter how many great defensive players they've had. So I wonder,
you got a rookie jersey.
Yeah. I mean, it was a gift. I mean, that was a while ago, Kyle, but yes, but yeah, I have that. So I wonder how much of it is, you know, I mean, these are the same arguments I remember listening to Shea Townsend back in run up to Super Bowl 45 saying, no one ever got my jersey, right? Because it was Rod Woodson. I'm sure Le'Veon had the same problem. I mean, at these great teams with these numbers, it's not always easy to go out and get buy multiple jerseys at the same number. Like,
yeah, I saw more 23s than 97s.
That
which,
is a little surprising.
I mean,
yeah.
You know,
I love Hayden too. Yeah. Also, probably a Hall of Honor guy, but yeah.
All right, let's go to weird stats of the game. How about at Steeler Nation again? Steelers have converted 4 passes on fourth down this year. 0 have been for a first down. I mean, I don't know how often that happens. I would think probably zero.
Very, very few times. Again, I come back to the space shuttle analogy. For you to be throwing these short passes on long distances and fourth down, everything else has to have gotten bogged down or gone awry for the potential for that to occur, much less your poor execution in the moment.
Let's go on to, you know, I always, especially myself, I like to personally bring up instances where Tomlin has shown excellent leadership skills. But, you know, hey, in all fairness, if there are detractors, I think we got to give them the time. And let's go to at Pittsburgh Sports Steelers takeaways. They had an exclusive interview with Anthony Cicchello. And he said, you know, Tomlin told me I needed to man up. I needed to stop making excuses. It was all in my head that I needed to overcome my excuses, like my dad always being disappointed in me, things like that. I feel like he didn't care about what I was going through then. He didn't care about what was going on in my head. He could see the pain in my eyes, but he didn't care. You know, he was talking about some of the mental, he was talking about his mental illness battles.
Okay.
You know, Anthony Cicchello was never a guaranteed roster lock.
Remember. No, he was a backup, but he was exactly what you want a backup to be. He was a special teamer. He could play a few snaps. He could rush the passer. As I was reading this quote, and as you were reading it, I couldn't help but think of, I remember years back, there was some player from the CFL. His name escapes me, but he went, you know, he was a stud linebacker in the CFL, and he came to camp with the Steelers, and I think they cut him after a cut or two. And I remember he ended up tweeting not long after he went back to Canada. He said, Coach Tomlin was the realest coach I ever had. And as I read this quote from Cicchello, I wonder if both of these guys are saying the exact same thing in different words.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but certain, maybe different
interpretations.
Yeah, certainly different. Yeah, certainly there's some resentment, it sounds like, here still. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh, certainly. I guess, and not to immediately discount what Cicchello's saying and to defend Tomlin, but what is the opposite side of this? Like, what would be the proper way for Tomlin to have reached him to be like, hey, I understand what you're going through. Do you need time off? I don't mean to make light of that. I mean, I go to therapy. I think it's very important. Yeah. I think we have to take mental health more seriously in everything in life. But
it's hard to make time for that when you're worried about the next opponent in 48 hours.
And again, we aren't there, so we don't know how he interpreted it. But I imagine but I also want to say that I can't imagine that every interaction Tomlin has had has been perfect.
Yeah.
Has worked out exactly as he had hoped, exactly how the other person hoped. I bet there are, like in anything else in life, there are ones you'd like to have back. And maybe this is one of Tomlin's.
Yeah, the only people probably to have no enemies are probably Paul McCartney and that might be it.
Didn't Paul have some enemies the entire time they were making all those records? I mean,
those
weren't like not tumultuous making the Beatles records. Even I know that.
All right, let's one more here on the lightning round. A little off the field action. At Trib Sports from the Tribune Review. Robert Golden, who spent 6 years as a safety with the Steelers, founded a tuition-free charter school in his hometown to service the underprivileged children of the Southwest Fresno neighborhoods, which I believe is all of the Fresno neighborhoods. But I don't know. I just wanted to bring, you know, just the actions continue off the field, and Robert Golden is, you know, he's walking the walk out there.
Absolutely. And to piggyback on that exact thing, if you ever read the note that the letter of recommendation Kevin Colbert wrote for Golden when he was doing that, it really is inspiring. It'll make you feel good. That's worth finding online and reading that.
Oh, interesting. And, maybe we'll get a link to that on behindthesteelcurtain.com. all right, let's move on to the final word. We have a couple here. How about at Rick Fish 412, friendly reminder, the Steelers are having, oh, I'm sorry, friendly reminder, the Steelers have been starting 6 rookies and 4 second-year players. If you expected the season to be a smooth ride, you played yourself. Win games, learn and grow, make the playoffs, anything can happen. This is the way.
I mean, you managed to get in both. You played yourself and this is the way in one tweet. But this guy's right. I mean, we say it every week. This is a rebuilding team. You don't notice it because the quarterback's been doing this for 18 years at this point. But yes, this is a rebuild and it could be going far worse.
Yeah, I want to go back. I want to go back on that point real quick to at Alex Kazora. I'm watching David. Gosh, I can't read. I'm sorry.
I can't do these names either. I know the tweet you're going to look at.
Yeah. I'm watching Daniel Archibong, Derek Tuska, and Delonte Scott try to stop the Chargers offense. This would be a Saturday evening preseason game, not Sunday night football.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that reminds me that we've got some leaked tracks from the new Roger Wood Here We Go song.
Oh, good.
They're recording for the 2021 version.
Excellent.
And I was able to secure some of the studio tracks here. Let's take a look and take a listen.
We got Norwood and Henry Mondo.
Here we go.
Derek Tuska, Pierre and Taco.
Here we go.
We got Wormley and Miles Killebrew.
Here we go.
Joey Schobert, Akilah Witherspoon.
Here we go.
We got Ingram. Wait, who's number eight now?
Here we go.
Carl Joseph and Robert Spillane.
Here we go.
Arthur Mollette, but not Justin Lane.
Here we go.
Wait, these guys have to actually play to get in the song.
Here we go.
Oh, they actually played?
Here we go.
We got Delonte and Archibong.
Here we go.
All right, so it sounds like it's going to be some extra verses in the song this year.
I'm glad you did. I didn't realize Archibong was a real guy. I saw your thing, and I thought you'd misspelled something on our notes.
No, yes. There's a guy named Archibong, which okay. is, not to be, stay away from the dope kids, okay?
Yeah, yeah, be safe out there.
All right, one last thing. Let's go to at Blitz Videos. Will the Steelers make the playoffs this season? 40.6% say yes. 59.4% say no. It's 60-40. It's pretty close.
It is. I felt better about the Steelers making the playoffs. Two things occurred that are completely unrelated to them. One, the Chiefs seem to have gotten their act together, which I think takes away a spot. And the fact that when you go back and look at what's up for the rest of the season, the schedule got that much more difficult because the Vikings look like an actual team now. I mean, it looks like a pretty good squad over there.
We don't play any pretenders the rest of the way.
No, the Steelers will be an underdog in every single game.
And it comes down to these division games, I think. So mm-hmm. we've got Cincy this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's then we got the Ravens after that.
Mm-hmm.
People are talking like these are the two most important games of the season. They're certainly the two most important games of right now.
Right, exactly. They're the most Steelers games coming up, if you want to do it that way.
We've had the most Steeler. We had the worst Steeler drive, the worst Steeler lineup, and now we're about to have the most Steelers. The most Steeler games.
Right, exactly. Yes, these will be the two most important Steelers games until they go well, in which case then the next games will be after that. And hopefully we get to have these same arguments and complaints next week about what's the most after something positive happens.
I think we're going to see more Ben heroics. I think we're on the way. So follow us on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm at Kyle Kreiss. Greg, where can we find you?
At Greg Benevent, GREG, B as in boy, ENE, V as in Victor, ENT, on Twitter and Instagram.
Keep listening to Behind the Steel Curtain, and I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Save us some leftovers
for
the Steelers game. All right, be chill.
A change of seasons means adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow, or all of the above on the same day. This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. With all-conditioned traction and materials and features to keep you comfy and dry no matter what, you'll be ready for anything. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.